This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you want to know what Padres players are really thinking? We get you closer to the Padres than anyone else in town. It's time to go inside the clubhouse. God, I hope they're all wearing at least a towel. It's Friar Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan.
And indeed, it is Friar Friday, the start of the second half of the season. We are at Petco Park and really pleased to be joined by one of the Padres who's had a great first half and I think become kind of a fan favorite in his hometown. Greg Garcia joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Greg, first of all, congratulations on a really nice first half for you and the team.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a good first half. I mean, from a team standpoint, we're right where we want to be. We're right in the thick of things, and that's exciting for us, and we feel like we got a real good chance of getting into the playoffs.
Have you guys talked at all amongst yourselves, or do you need to talk at all amongst yourselves about what your goals are for the second half? Does the team ever come together and say, "Hey, guys, we got a shot at this. Let's go for it"?
Yeah, I think from day one, from in spring training, we kind of set that goal. It wasn't something that was so far fetched or anything like that. It was something that we wanted to do this year. You know, they've talked about winning here in the future and this and that, but we always talked about right now, and we have such great leaders in that clubhouse with Eric Hosmer and Ian Kinsler, and those guys just kind of make our ship go, and we kind of follow their lead, and those guys are winners. They've both been on championship teams, and they know what it takes.
Greg Garcia with us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Tell us about your manager, Andy Green. He seems like he knows how to handle you guys. He seems like he knows when to leave you alone and when to push your buttons. Tell us something that we may not know about his leadership.
I think Andy, one of the biggest compliments I can give him is like he's a genius when it comes to like in-game managing, and he's one of the smartest guys I've ever been around. As far as, you know, every manager is like, I'm gonna put my guys in the best situations to succeed, and Andy actually does that. He's 100%. He studies very hard. He's the first one in here. He's the last one to leave. You know, he looks through matchups, and he puts you in such a great position to succeed. I think that's why so many guys are having success this year, and as a team, we're having some success for sure.
Greg, life as a part-time player to me is interesting at the major league level. I mean, obviously, everybody wants to play every day, and you've gotten your opportunities there, you know, to play every day for a little while here and there. How do you keep yourself prepared? How do you keep yourself on edge, knowing or coming to the ballpark and not always knowing whether you're going to start, come off the bench, maybe play, maybe not play? I assume you have to be ready to always go, right?
Yeah, that early on in my career, I mean, I don't even consider myself a part-time player anymore. I feel like that's what I was in St. Louis. I'm getting a great opportunity here, and I'm playing a lot more than I ever really have in my career, starting a lot more than I ever really had in my career, and it feels like baseball again to me, which is nice. You know, when you don't play every day, and how it was in St. Louis, it was like, oh, if I have a spot start and I go 0-4, I kind of got to sit on that for a couple days. I know I'm not going to get thrown back out there. Whereas here, you know, if I go 0-4, I might be out there again tomorrow, or take a day off, and maybe it's out there again the next 2 days or something like that. So it feels like baseball more now so than ever, and I'm just really enjoying myself. I'm really thankful for the opportunity, and I'm ready on any given day. Whatever the team needs, whether that be coming off the bench or starting that day, I'm ready to go.
Greg, you're a hometown guy. What's it like to come back and play in front of your hometown fans for a team that you grew up watching? Because I would think that would be a little bit nerve-wracking.
You know what? It hasn't. I thought so too. Maybe like when I first got claimed over here, I was like, man, this is gonna be a lot more pressure than I'm used to. I mean, in St. Louis, you're playing in front of 45,000 people, but here they're not all grow up with you and kind of know your backstory and things like that. But everyone's been so great and so supportive, and they know how hard this game is and everything like that. So they don't expect me to go out there and get a hit every time they see me play. But I think what I can control is just going out there and playing hard. And I think that's what people like to see from me is just playing the game the right way and as hard as I possibly can. And if I get hits, great. If not, I know I'm still going to play the game the right way.
Greg Garcia has been a fan favorite, as we mentioned, for the Padres the first half of the season, and a real key to their success. And he joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline on our Friar Friday interview. Greg, I'm curious. I think one of the things that I've noticed watching you at the plate anyway is your fantastic knowledge of the strike zone. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is – obviously, I don't know. I've never hit at the big league level, but I imagine that's one of the toughest things to learn and toughest things to master. Talk a little bit about how you've developed that sense of being able to either take a close pitch or foul off a tough pitch. You would drive me crazy if I was trying to pitch to you, and I think that's exactly what you want to do up there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think it's something that I've always been able to do, and I don't really know why. It's not like I trained for it when I was little or anything like that. It was something that just always kind of came naturally to me. I kind of knew where the strike zone was at, but I didn't really know it was an asset until I got to Double A. And I remember I had a 400 on base percentage. I didn't know what that meant at the time, you know. And I had a hitting coach come up to me and said, "Man, that's pretty darn good. That's pretty special that what you're doing and this and that." And then I was like, okay, I can, you know, this might be my one tool, and it's something that I take a lot of pride in. You know, I take a lot of pride in going up there and trying to take a good at bat, a competitive at bat, and I think that's also comes from coming off the bench. You know, sometimes you only get one at bat, so I try not to throw any at bat away. Of course, there's gonna be some tough at bats here and there, but every time I'm in that box, I just want to try to compete as hard as I can, and that's all I can do.
Greg Garcia with us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline Friar Friday. Now, he's talking about your hitting skills. I want to talk about your fielding skills, because when in L.A. last week, you had some pretty good plays. We're used to seeing Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado, but you're slowly creeping up there on the athletic, acrobatic plays.
Do you guys want to let them have all the fun over there?
Yeah, do you guys have like a friendly competition for best defensive play?
No. I'm not in their league at all. But
I don't know. I watched last week. I don't know.
But if you look around our infield, you got Manny, who's got a gold glove. Fernando, who's going to win a ton of gold gloves. Ian, who's won gold gloves. Hosmer, it's like, if you don't make good plays, you don't really fit in. So you gotta just follow suit. No, but I don't go out there and try to make all the crazy plays. I just want to try to make that routine play, and I think if I do that, that's all I really want out of me. I work really hard on my defense. I take a lot of pride in it. It doesn't come easy to me, so I have to put a lot of work in, you know. And it's been fun out there, and just watching these other guys play. And I got to say, Eric Hosmer's the best defensive first baseman in the league. You watch him over there. He's like a wide receiver, you know, some of those catches.
Lots of range.
He knows when to move his feet. And if you throw a ball in the dirt, just it's an out. He's going to pick it. And it's such a luxury to have that guy. And he makes all of us as infielders look a lot better than we probably are.
I think you're giving him a little too much. I mean, he's great. He's great. But you guys around him have been making the whole infield look tight. It's been fantastic to watch. I know our pre and post game guy Braden Suprenant sat down with you a little earlier and did a little visit with you about what your favorite Mexican restaurants in San Diego. I believe it was on our webpage for months and
still
months.
Still is. Yeah.
Give us a little update on
it's,
that. Still
the
same. Give me the top couple.
I don't have a top couple, man.
Oh, you don't.
It's only one.
Okay.
When you're from San Diego and you have your spot, there's no couple that you go to.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, you got to
have your
spot.
I'm totally with you.
I've been loyal to it. There's two locations. There's one in Rancho San Diego where I grew up, and that's why I fell in love with Hilberto's. And then I don't know when they opened the Santee location, but that's the one I go to now because I'm out there in Santee. And my buddy from high school, Armando Torres, his dad owns it, and now he runs the one in Santee. So it's a great spot. You got to check it out.
Oh, it's
California
awesome.
Burritos are awesome. Roll tacos, they're all great.
I lived in Rancho San Diego for 10 years.
Awesome,
so
man.
Hilberto's was my go-to.
You know it too, then.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. I practically, when I called, they would say, "Hello, Chris," and they'd take my order.
No
so
doubt,
they knew
no
I
doubt.
Was coming down to grab a little bite. And,
no doubt.
I mean, I went to college in San Diego, so it's always about the Bertos.
No doubt.
And finding Hilberto's was a fantastic thing for me. So I'm sure you were really excited. What was your first thought, or how did you hear about the fact you were coming back to San Diego? Because so many things must have gone through your mind when that exact trade happened.
Well, it was actually I got put on waivers.
I'm sorry.
Which is an incredibly scary situation for me, because I always thought I was going to be in St. Louis for the rest of my career. I really liked it there, and it was the first time where, you know, maybe the business side comes out, or maybe they just want to move on. And that kind of hurt a little bit, and it was a little bit scary because you're like, man, does any other team want me? I've only known this organization, and I didn't have the greatest year last year. You know, I got 180 at-bats, so I didn't know if I had people valued a player like me. And so a lot of thoughts are running through your head, and I remember I was driving up to Tahoe helping my dad move in. He has a little cabin up there, and he was bringing some stuff up there, and my agent called me, and he doesn't, my agent Joe Bick doesn't get too excited about a lot of things, but there's something in his voice that was like, this is different. Something happened. I know I got claimed, but still, he's too excited for that.
Right.
And he said, you know, Greg, you're going to be a San Diego Padre. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. For me to be able to share that moment with my dad was really special and honestly really motivating. It was, I went from being like, man, I don't know if I'm going to play in the big leagues ever again. I never had that thought in my head until that moment when I got put on waivers. And then it was like, oh, my gosh, my hometown team claimed me. I'm about to go work as hard as I can. I wanted to find the nearest field. I wanted to get to work. I wanted to do all that stuff. So it was really, really exciting and really, really motivating for me.
That's awesome.
Last one from me. You were just talking days in St. Louis. You did go to the playoffs with them in 2015. Yeah. What do you see any similarities or what can you take from that experience to help get the Padres back in the playoffs this year?
I think the one major similarity that I see, and I'll harp on it again because I think it's that important, is the leadership that we have in the clubhouse. In St. Louis, you had guys like Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina, and two of the greatest leaders I've ever been around and just greatest people. And then you come over here and you get guys like Eric Hosmer might be the best leader I've ever been around. He makes everyone feel good. He's constantly helping out and everything like that. You got Manny Machado who works extremely hard for how talented he is. He's working so darn hard. And I would say the leaders that we've had in St. Louis are similar to the leaders that we have here. And any good team has that. And it just so happens that our leaders are our best players on our team, and that's even better. You know, so we're really excited about where we are in the second half, and we can't wait to get to work.
Greg Garcia, thanks so much for the time, and we look forward, both Matt and I, to joining you and your teammates for a round of champagne and rolled tacos with guacamole.
Yes,
when the Padres clinch. Huh?
That sounds great. Can't wait, and we're excited for sure.
All right, we'll put it on your tab, but I figure
we'll put it on Manny's tab. We'll
put it on Manny's tab. Yeah, sure, absolutely. Tab. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the time. Have a great second half.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, good friend of ours from the Bay Area News Group, Dieter Kurtenbach on 97.3 The Fan. Dieter, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty well. How about you guys?
Great.
Well, we're good. We're sitting at Petco Park on a beautiful Friday afternoon in San Diego, so I don't think we can complain. How are the folks in the Bay Area handling the fact that they no longer have the odds-on favorite to win every single NBA title that's ever going to be contested again?
Oh, I think they're handling the reality of the world pretty okay, which is abnormal for most Bay Area folks, I'll say.
Yeah, I know.
I think we can somewhat relate to the beauty you're looking at out in Petco Park. It's certainly no San Diego. I don't want to blaspheme, but it's all pretty good when you're hanging out in the Bay Area on a nice summer day in San Francisco or wherever you might be across the wonderful Northern California.
Definitely. I mean, I grew up there. I went to college there. I know what those days
and
are
Northern
like.
California was happy to get rid of you.
No, they were not. They cry every day waiting for me to return. Dieter,
is that what they're crying about?
Yes.
That's
all. That's what they're crying about. They're screaming, we need him back. The Warriors, they made major changes. We just talked about it. And they added D'Angelo Russell. That is a little weird to me because of having Steph Curry on the team. Do you think that D'Angelo Russell is going to play a part in this team, or is he going to be traded before the season begins?
Well, he can't be traded before the season begins, so that's not happening. No, it's all good. Trust me. The minutiae of the NBA CBA eludes me most of the time anyway. The question is if he's a long-term or a short-term play for the Warriors. He can be traded after December to another team, and there's a very real chance that that's the case because Klay Thompson will be coming back from his ACL injury, and you look at it and you go, I don't know if they can play a three-guard lineup with Thompson, Curry, and D'Angelo Russell, especially with Curry and Russell's defensive liabilities. At the same time, it is peculiar, but it makes all the sense in the world for the Warriors to get Russell because it was Russell or nothing. The only way they were able to get Russell was because it was a sign-and-trade with the Brooklyn Nets. With Kevin Durant, and had that sign and trade not come about, the Warriors wouldn't have been able to do anything with the money that Kevin Durant left on the table. It would have been over the salary cap. They wouldn't have been able to sign anybody. So just merely being able to have three max players, perhaps four down the line with Draymond Green, allows the Warriors to be creative, and that's just a chess piece that they're not going to have down the line. I think that the Warriors could be pretty interesting with Russell on the court. I don't expect him to be there long term, but he's young. He's 23 years old. He's long. He was an all-star for the first time last year. I think the Warriors are going to have to adapt to him a little bit. I think that he has the potential to adapt to the Warriors' style of play, and if he does that, if those things come together, maybe he does stick around for a while. But ultimately, the Warriors were just trying to salvage anything they could out of a really bad situation with Kevin Durant, a situation they are honestly blindsided by, as ridiculous as that sounds. And it was kind of Russell or bust, so they took the available piece to them.
You know, going back to the whole Kevin Durant thing, Dieter, why honestly did he decide to leave Golden State? What's the real feeling? I mean, if he stays at Golden State, misses next season, the Warriors take care of him, he comes back, they're still a championship-quality team. I'm curious why he was in such a hurry to get out of there. Because I don't know that anybody's ever totally figured Kevin Durant out.
Well, that is the 100% truth. The way I like to phrase it is the next person to figure out Kevin Durant will be the first. But yeah. The way that I view it, and I have a fair number of people that read me that, I guess, agree with this, and colleagues who agree with this assessment. Durant has been upfront that the championship didn't fulfill him the way they thought he would be fulfilled. When LeBron James went to Miami, we recall, he kind of got a clean bill of health or whatever from the general public after the decision, after he won two titles and was arguably is the greatest four-year stretch of any basketball player in NBA history, what he was able to do down there. And when he went down and wins that first title, wins the second title, then people start talking about him as the greatest of all time. And Kevin Durant is certainly in that class. And if he's not in that class, he's certainly allowed to think that he is in that class. And he thought leaving Oklahoma City, going to the Warriors, playing in basketball nirvana, it would not only help him kind of find himself a little bit, getting out of a smaller market that protected him at all costs, just, you know, kind of not having to be the dude, if you will. But also, if he won titles, he would start getting the recognition as one of the greatest players of all time, perhaps the greatest player of all time. And that just didn't happen. He didn't find fulfillment there. And frankly, it only bolstered Stephen Curry's argument as sort of the guy who made the Warriors what they are. I just think he needed to get out of Curry's spotlight or limelight or whatever it is a little bit and start his own thing. Now, I don't know if starting your own thing with Kyrie Irving is a good model, but they're friends and they're weird, and good luck to the fine people of Brooklyn.
Got to introduce them both to Scraby. They'd all get along perfectly.
We'd be best of friends.
Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group, is our guest here, joining us to talk everything Bay Area. Dieter, I want to flip over to baseball real quick. Bruce Bochy, our old friend here in San Diego, in his last year of managing the Giants, is the feeling that Bruce Bochy is going to retire and stay retired, or is the feeling that Bruce Bochy just needs kind of a break and has kind of had his run in San Francisco and he might resurface again later on down the road? What do people think about that?
It's the latter. I think most people think that he'll take a breather and he'll try to get back in. But I'll tell you this: I don't think Bruce Bochy ever manages again. It's not because he's not a great guy. He is universally beloved for all the good reasons. But Bruce Bochy is what part of the reason he's out the door. It isn't because Farhan Zaidi, the analytics inclined new general manager, president of baseball operations of the Giants, doesn't think that Bochy can handle an analytics run team. It's because that Bruce Bochy makes like $3 million a year, $4 million a year. And these managers you see around Major League Baseball, they're getting $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year. And it's just bad business in this day and age, with managers not necessarily having as much of an impact as maybe we thought they did with the way that baseball is played these days, to pay someone four or five times market rate. And so I don't think Bruce Bochy, with all that he's accomplished, and I think a Hall of Fame career, is going to want to take a pay cut to come back and manage. Maybe he does, but I ultimately think that The itch isn't strong enough for him to sort of take what he thinks would be a lesser than offer, and that's all that's going to be out there. So I think he just really enjoys retirement, and he'll have some, you know, fake front office job with the Giants or maybe even the Padres down the line, and just you know, live on the boat. And I think that's a pretty good way to live. I'd trade places with him any day.
Teeter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. We're all over the place because you're all over the place in the Bay Area, and I want to switch over to football because we are right there. It's about to start training camp, all that stuff. What are your initial thoughts on the Raiders? Because they're going to be on Hard Knocks. Antonio Brown's now on the team. They're about to move to Vegas. It just seems like this season has the potential to be a disaster.
And Richie Incognito just got suspended too.
Wait, what?
Don't forget about that.
Yeah. I mean, as if we didn't see
Richie Incognito's suspension coming.
Yeah. Like, why? It's pretty despicable that Richie Incognito even has a job in the NFL. I was down in Miami during the Jonathan Martin saga, and it's just absolutely despicable that that guy still has a job. It shows where the values of the NFL are. I understand that I'm not telling tales out of school that professional murder ball might not be the best place for morality, but it would be pretty easy to draw a line there. The Raiders have all the right. It was a disaster last year, so I don't know how you take it to the next level, but they certainly seem to have the right ingredients for another bad year. Antonio Brown, I guess, could increase the possibility of them actually putting some points on the board, but you still have Derek Carr, a quarterback that I personally have never believed in, and I don't think year two of him under Gruden is going to help anything. You have a defense that is hot garbage and did not add a pass rusher that could hold Khalil Mack's jockstrap. They drafted strangely, I think is the right way to put that, with their three first-round picks. They're still expecting Doug Martin to carry the load for them in the backfield. The offensive line got worse somehow, and they're still coached by Tom Cable. So, I mean, listen, you can convince me best-case scenario and get to 7 or 8 wins, but It's the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, whatever you want to call them. I mean, I think a 3 or 4 and another high pick written all over them.
I think you're right, Dieter. Great stuff, especially on Bruce Bochy. I really hadn't thought all that through. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out. Have yourself a great weekend. Always great catching up with you, and we'll look forward to talking soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Have fun, guys.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
I want to remind you that the Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ecowatersd.com. And because I'm sitting in for Tony today, Mr. Thomas has taken the Big Five hosting duties.
We're letting Odd Thomas.
Odd Thomas is going to get
the hosting duties. Hi, Odd Thomas. How are you?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Well,
I can barely hear you.
You know, Scravy's doing all right, but I'm struggling my way through. I mean, you imagine having to sit with Scravy for 3 hours in the press box and try and do a talk show. You know what I'm coming from. But
I like to talk about everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. Chris,
trying to rein you in is not easy to do.
Well,
Odd Thomas, hit us with the Big Five stuff. Let's go.
Well, your Greg Garcia interview, guys, was great. So
it was good. It was good.
Thank you,
Thomas. And if you missed it, by the way, out there, we always play it twice on Friar Fridays, so you'll hear it again at 5:35 today. Greg Garcia really was outstanding. Thank you, Thomas. Go.
All right. Yesterday we talked about the Madden 20 99 Club, which was an award that goes to the only players with a perfect 99 rating in the game. We mentioned that Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner, and Khalil Mack, who got announced yesterday, were already announced. The fourth and final 99er this year is Texans wide receiver DeAndre Nuke Hopkins. Do you guys think Hopkins is worthy of this final spot? Chris?
No. Wow. I think he's very good. I don't think he's, like, I wouldn't even name him as the best receiver in football. I mean, I think he's very, very good. Don't get me wrong. But 99 is reserved for the cream of the crop. And as I said yesterday, I mean, if Tom Brady's not a 99, who would be? The guy's the MVP of the NFL practically every year. So I think DeAndre Hopkins is fantastic. I don't know as much about Madden, the game, as Scraby does, so I'm sure there's some really good reason for this. But aren't there better wide receivers in pro football than DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, here's the thing, and I would say yes, he is a 99. He was on my fantasy team last year. He carried my fantasy team, and before you roll your eyes, Chris, hear me out.
Your fantasy team was the worst team in the league.
3-0.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas.
He carried you to the cellar.
You don't need to remind me of that every single time.
I'm just telling you.
But I think the Madden ratings, I was thinking about this on the drive home last night. I think you're thinking about it in the wrong way, because it's based on, like, physical ability, maybe not what they do to their team, because Tom Brady with a speed of, say, 50 means that he's not going to be 99. DeAndre Hopkins last year had 115 catches, 1,572 yards. His catch percentage was 70.6, the highest in his career, and he had 11 touchdowns. I think he was the best wide receiver in the year last year that no one was talking about. So I definitely agree with this 99.
99 for DeAndre Hopkins, but there's no running back good enough to get that. There's no quarterback like Patrick Mahomes good enough to get that, or Tom Brady. There's no offensive lineman good enough to get that.
But
I think DeAndre Hopkins, like I said, great player, but for him to be a 99. I don't agree with it.
Do you know that DeAndre Hopkins has only missed one regular season game in his career? That's pretty impressive as well. He's very durable.
Oh,
that
my
goes
goodness,
into your
we
score.
Should, we should give him a 105 then.
Thomas, do you agree?
I do think, Thomas, you're a Madden guy.
I think up until Deshaun Watson got there, he was doing so much with not a lot of talent at the quarterback position, similar to Andre Johnson did earlier in his career. So I definitely think he's worthy of it, and he's not one of those guys that has to go out and run his mouth and be all in the media all the time. He's kind of quietly just doing his thing and putting up great numbers.
That's fair. I like that part about him.
Yeah, me too.
I like that. I mean, because most wide receivers are definite look at me guys.
Exactly.
Yes. And Hopkins is a guy that I would dare to say that there are some fans who honestly couldn't even tell you what DeAndre Hopkins plays for, who he plays for.
I would agree with
that.
I mean,
unless you're a pretty good, solid football fan.
They're not marketing him right.
No, and he's not marketed at all.
This is it, though.
Well,
he's getting marketed.
This is the biggest thing that's ever happened to him. All right, thanks.
Number
Let's
four.
Go.
All
Number
right.
four.
Former Duke star and now Grizzlies player Grayson Allen has a reputation of being a dirty player. The second-year NBA player has largely avoided that reputation since turning pro, but at Duke he was known for his exploits, tripping opponents perhaps more than anything else he did on the basketball court. Well, that reputation has finally caught up with him, and on Thursday in a summer league game, the Memphis Grizzlies forward jumped to defend Boston Celtics forward Grant Williams as he went up for a dunk. Allen took a big swipe. He didn't get the ball. What he did get was the back of Williams' head and his elbow, and he was ejected and was surprised he was ejected. So at what point is Grayson Allen hurting the team instead of helping? Scraby, we'll start with you.
All right, are we talking about his G League team, or are we talking about his NBA team?
Was he in the NBA at all last year?
Just
a little bit,
it up.
Wasn't he?
38 games. He averaged 5.6 points. Yeah. His total rebounds, he averaged a half a rebound, and he averaged 0.7 assists. At what point is he hurting the team? Not now, because he's not on the team. So maybe he's hurting his G League team. And I saw this play, and it was dirty. And he looked like, what, me? I can't believe this. He got two flagrants, and then he ended up getting ejected. I can't stand this guy, because all he does is just keep himself in controversy at all times instead of letting his play do the talk. So he's not hurting anything, because he's not even that good to be in the NBA.
Well,
right now, right
I
now.
Think he's hurting his own.
He's hurting his own stock.
He probably is to a certain extent. I mean, until Grayson Allen can kind of get a handle on his game, it's going to be difficult for the Memphis Grizzlies or any other team to give him a regular spot in a rotation somewhere in the NBA. I think this is a very talented player, certainly. He's shown that, but he's shown a propensity to not be able to control his emotions during a game. And there are some guys you can live with on that. I mean, I'm going to go back to, you know, Rodman, Rasheed Wallace, crazy guys.
Charles
who
Barkley.
Who played in the NBA. I would put Barkley
meant Charles Oakley.
Charles Oakley? Yeah, a little bit. But I'm just saying, certain guys, I mean, you could almost, you had to be nervous about putting them out on the court because you're never quite sure how they were going to react. But Rodman was a Hall of Fame player. Rasheed Wallace was not Hall of Fame, but pretty damn good. So you could put up with some outbursts once in a while. Grayson Allen's averaging 5 points a game. He's got to mind his P's and Q's if he wants to get into the league full time.
All right. Good points, guys.
Number three.
Washington Redskins veteran quarterback Josh Norman is known as one of the most polarizing players in the NFL due to his ability to lock down receivers, trash talk with the best of them, and his highly competitive nature, which led him to running with the Bulls this week and live to tell about it. With a guy who signed such a big contract and has a lot of money on his contract still left, is this an irresponsible move by him, Chris?
So he announced that he went to Barcelona.
Took pictures.
There's a video floating all over Twitter. He did a straight jump over a bull.
Yeah.
He hurdled a bull.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a little bit irresponsible. I got to say that. It's probably not the thing you want to be doing if you're an all-pro cornerback. But you know what? They have so many rules in the world right now. No matter what world you're in, and most NFL players are pretty much restricted from doing anything on their contracts for fear that they're going to get hurt. So if running with the Bulls is not something that the Washington Redskins thought to put in his contract to keep him from doing, then, you know, maybe this is his one escape and a chance to do something, you know, death-defying, because I'm sure he's not allowed to jump out of an airplane or probably even play a pickup game of basketball. So maybe this satisfies a certain need for Josh Norman. But yes, it is a little bit irresponsible, I would say.
Scraby?
Although fun, probably. Would you do it, Scraby?
No.
I would sign you up in a heartbeat.
I know you would.
No, I'd sign you up.
No, I know. Heartbeat. I know. I'm
not
doing you would
it.
Sign me up.
I'd get you out there quickly.
Absolutely no way.
You don't think you could outrun
this.
Those bulls?
I can barely outrun the taco cart.
No, you can't. That's true.
Is he irresponsible? No.
He's not?
No. You know why?
Why?
All this guy cares about is himself and his popularity. He loves being in the news. People are not talking about him anymore. This is a way to get him back in the news. He's not even that great of a cornerback anymore. He's a wasted. I think his salary is just being wasted. He's best known for fighting with Odell Beckham Jr. and he just loves it when people talk about him. So it's not irresponsible.
And what makes that makes him different from any other player in the National Football League or Major League Baseball in this day and age? I mean, everybody's...
Great question.
It's a look-at-me world now in professional sports. That's exactly why I talked about Roger Federer at the beginning of the show today, because he's the greatest tennis player of all time, and he doesn't need to be a look-at-me type athlete. And I wish more young players that are coming up in whatever sport they're in would take a page from Roger Federer, but... This kind of behavior that Josh Norman is going to satisfy himself before worrying about the team is not only Josh Norman's thing. I mean, that's a lot of guys now, and you have to let the kids play.
Yeah. I'm really thinking that the Redskins knew about this because this would be a major breach of contract, and he wasn't shy about sharing it. So I think, no, not irresponsible because I think
it couldn't
the Redskins
have been a
knew.
Breach of contract because you got to have to put in a contract – that you can't run with the Bulls.
I think there's probably something in there like you can't put yourself in
harm's way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which you could do that driving a car. So anyway.
All right. Well, then if he broke his contract, the Redskins ought to be fining him quickly.
All right.
So I'm going to say
number
that
two.
All right. The big news yesterday was the Oklahoma City Thunder trading longtime star Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets, and Chris Paul was sent to the Thunder in exchange. Some of the Thunder fans feel like their team have supported for so long have just given up and blown up the team for no reason. Do you think the Thunder fans have a reason to be upset? Scraby?
One of my favorite things to do whenever big news happens is go straight to the message boards of the fans of that city because they will not lie to you. They will give you everything that you want to know. And the message board I went to today overwhelmingly was sad to see him go but happy to see the future, because if it wasn't going to happen with Russell Westbrook now, then it's never going to happen. And so they were okay with, for the most part, there were a lot of people that were kind of like, hey, I just bought a Russell Westbrook jersey. What am I going to do with that now? That's part of it. And I know why fans are upset and everything, but if I'm a Thunder fan, I'm pretty excited about the future because Russell Westbrook, he did his thing. He tried to get there, and I don't think it was going to happen even if he was at Oklahoma City. So, no, I don't think they have a right to be upset in the regard of that they have a bright future.
Chris?
I don't think they have a right to be upset in Oklahoma City, if only because Oklahoma City's given them a playoff caliber, almost championship level product for the last, what, 6 or 7 years?
Yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma City's been right at the top of the NBA for quite a while now. They got to a finals. They get deep in the playoffs. Westbrook, they've had Harden, they've had Durant, they've had Paul George there. And Scraby's right for a change. If Westbrook couldn't get there with Paul George, he's not going to get there without Paul George. So you might as well, you know, rebuild this thing. And I don't know, what would we say yesterday? Oklahoma City's got 16 first-round picks coming up over the next 7-8 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
insane.
It's insane. So I think every no fan has a right to be rooting for a championship quality team every single year, although a lot of fans think that that's their right,
especially when you are a fan of that fan base.
Yeah, but the fact is that, look, the Lakers had 5 or 6 down years in there, and they're still going through. They still haven't proven they can get to the postseason, although they most likely will this year. So no, I think Oklahoma City fans in general should be pretty pleased with how their franchise has performed.
All right.
Number one.
All right, winning Super Bowls isn't anything new to Tennessee Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, who won 3 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots in the early 2000s.
I know where this is going, and be careful, Thomas.
But why'd you have to give him this one?
But the former linebacker might solidify himself as one of the greatest football guys in the league with what he said on Thursday during his appearance on Bussin' with the Boys, a fun podcast hosted by Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, who are Tennessee Titans. Vrabel stated he was willing to cut off his male body part if it meant
what?
His team would win the Super Bowl. So, would you guys ever cut off a body part if it meant you could win a
Not
Super
that
Bowl?
Body part.
I'm hanging up the phone. Click.
Are you hanging up the phone?
I'm not going any further with this question. Sorry, you can go ahead and answer it, but I'm
would
not
I ever
going
cut
no
off
further.
A body part?
Any body part?
I could win the Super Bowl. Any body part?
Oh,
any
body part? So one finger if the Dolphins win a Super Bowl? No, thanks. It's all right.
I'll take a toe. You can cut off my toe.
I've handled the last 40 years without my team winning a Super Bowl. I can get along.
You wouldn't
with
give
one.
Up like a pinky toe?
No, I wouldn't.
I think I would give up a pinky toe for a couple more 49ers Super Bowls.
Oh, my goodness.
Why not?
I think this is a nice thing that Mike Vrabel is saying.
It's really weird.
It's a little weird, and I don't know if it's going to ever be put to the test or not.
They went on to say, wouldn't your wife be upset? He goes, I've been married for 20 years. I think I'm good at this point.
Okay. We're going down a weird...
yeah, we're way off.
We're going down a weird... I just can't believe... He sounds like he's a crazy dude, and that's why he said
Well, have you not seen the videos of him like taking on linebackers and running backs in practice still? It looks like he could still lace it up and go out there and play. Catch passes from Brady in the Super Bowl.
Well, he did catch a couple of touchdowns in the Super Bowl. He also banged heads with a lot of guys during his career in the
he's a
NFL,
psycho.
And I think that's starting to show a little bit. Mike Vrabel has gone a little bit over the deep end.
A little bit. All right, good stuff, Thomas.
You've survived another edition of the Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.